Hey guys, welcome back. I'm Philip Molina, and this is Rogue Theory. It's our new show where we just have some casual fun conversation with some casual fun nerds that we know from the internet, or also some from being our neighbor. But it's also going to have informed and crazy weird theories coming from these people who I want to introduce you to right now. So we got our boy Eric Voss.
Hey!
Oh, there we go. Hometown hero. And then our friend Nate Sherman is joining us.
I'm Nate.
Nate's a very good friend of ours, performed a lot of comedy, but also a big fan of the topics that we cover. And this is your first foray into this kind of nerd talk show where people do this for a living?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah. I played Dungeons and Dragons on a live stream before, so I think, you know, this is just like that, right?
Exactly.
Very similar.
Yeah, lots of voices from Eric.
Cool.
Yeah, basically. And then kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, you're very seasoned in this space. Markia McCarty, everyone. From DC Daily, Nerdist. You have like some other thing that's coming out soon, I think, right?
Yeah. On All Deaf Digital, they have a new show called Gamepad, and my episode will be airing July 2nd, so you can check out my Gamepad at DC.
Awesome. Nice. Great. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Hey, let's get right into it. Let's talk about a Marvel thing.
Yes.
Surprise, surprise.
What?
Right. Black Widow.
Yeah.
Cool. So Marvel's been extremely tight-lipped about any Black Widow details. They're starting to do that thing where they're like, hey, we're maybe casting this person, which always turns out to mean we're like in the middle of shooting and this person's been cast for months and months.
Right.
But a lot of like interesting images have been leaking, honestly, and some other details about the film. So one thing that we would definitely want to talk about now is Florence Pugh. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Florence Pugh?
Uh-huh.
Or is it Pughage?
You know what? No, I love. Yeah. Let's call her Pughage.
All right.
Yeah. Because that's
her DJ name.
That would be awesome.
I think it's French for puff.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Okay, so she's potentially going to play Yelena Belova, who would eventually take over the role of Black Widow. There's all kinds of other stuff, by the way, that is Black Widow news that I think Eric is going into some of that too.
You can watch the video on the channel right now.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But what I want to talk about actually right now is just this idea of, it looks like they're going to do this thing where they just hand off the Black Widow role to another actress. Obviously, it's another character, and we've all kind of theorized, well, how is the MCU going to deal with actors either aging out or their contracts being up? And it kind of seems like, you know, with Bucky and Sam potentially kind of taking over the Captain America mantle, and this happening with Black Widow, it seems like they might just kind of bring in new characters, but to play the same titular character, take over the mantle. Do you guys like that? Do you guys think that that's like the right way to do it?
Of course. With the Falcon being the new Captain America, because, you know, like, dude got the shield from Captain America. It's like, that's a thing. You know, that's earned. I really enjoy the whole passing of the mantle thing, whenever that can happen. You know, when we don't have a character die saving our planet and the universe and then can't pass on who's going to be the next Iron Man. I have issues. but yeah, absolutely with this. I really enjoy the idea of having Natasha saying to someone, like, to a protege or to a, not necessarily a protege, let's say to a rival, be like, yeah, you got the goods. You got all the goods that I have. You just have it in a different way. You need to carry on this name. I love that.
And that whole scene would be taking place with her as a force ghost. You got the goods.
Well, I think they killed off Scarlett Johansson, and they're going to use CGI to put her on a body.
The
double.
Actress?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Has anyone checked in on her?
She's been killed off. What do you guys think?
I love the idea. My hope is that they continue to do it where they file underneath the new guard that's coming, like the new big three. So like, to me, it's like, okay, we had that story for a decade. We had Black Widows and Captain America, like that type. My hope is that we can keep that up, but have them be underneath Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, I don't know, Doctor Strange, whomever else we want in that big three. That to me, I think, is a cool idea, because that's kind of like comics the way it is, right? Where it's like Thor now is a lady. It's Lady Thor, right? And so it's like it just keeps passing forward. So I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah. To me, it kind of reminds me of that theory that James Bond, the name James Bond, is like an invented alias. And really, that's why there's so many different actors playing James Bond. It's not just 007. It's a name. It's a title. Yeah. It's like a superhero thing. It's a legacy thing that gets passed down to future generations. I think if you bring in Florence Pugh right now, and this being the first Scarlett Johansson solo origin movie, that's puts a lot of pressure on Florence to immediately have to take over this character in a next Black Widow appearance. It'd be nice if we had a few more appearances of Scarlett Johansson in her own solo movies or things set in the past, and then Florence Pugh could kind of be there as a rival Yelena Belova character who's trying to steal that title away from her, ghost of her KGB past, who's hunting her down, so that she can kind of be gradually brought in the way that Tom Holland was a Spider-Man in Captain America Civil War. He didn't immediately have to take over as the front man right away. I think it would put a ton of pressure on her, but I would like to for all these characters to kind of be removed from the actors playing them so that we can potentially see new casting choices in the future.
I agree with that, where I like that, you know, the people playing them. I mean, we all get older, or some of us get older. You don't. Yeah, you're frozen in time. But no, so
he keeps on looking at me.
Yeah. I saw you in a picture 100 years ago. That's the issue. But the issue I have, like, that I'd be nervous about is if they do it to everybody, then you just, like, cut to, like, 8 years from now, and we have, like, what's going to look as, like, the knockoff Avengers, where it's like, they're all back, all your faves, Iron Man, played by, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. or something. Like it's just, they're all just going to look like...
That's a great pick!
That's a great idea! Only Freddie Prinze Jr. is that a great pick. He's like, I'll do it.
It's a great summer catch.
Why? Why would you know Freddie right Prinze Jr.? Yeah.
You know what? With me, I think with... People get very, very attached to the actors and actresses that embody these iconic roles for us. But it's also, it's about the iconic role. I mean, yes, there are some things that we don't necessarily want another Iron Man, because Robert Downey Jr. kind of made that fit for him. Like, right. He is Tony Stark. It's kind of like with Samuel L. Jackson, where it's like, he is Nick Fury. Like, we could have a Nick Fury Jr., you know, that's still a possibility, but having somebody else step into that, we wouldn't necessarily want that. But I also don't want to be too precious with these characters that we can't explore new realms of possibility. It's like the Avengers game, like that they have coming out, that we finally have that. And one of the first things that people were saying is that it's not the actors. They're like, well, no, it's not. For one, they are super busy. And then for two, it's a whole different adventure, you know, right. Avenger. So it's
a different Avenger adventure.
Avengers.
Would you want to venture into another Avenger?
You know, yeah.
Venture capital.
Yeah. Quick, I just want to hear somebody pitch on Nick Fury Jr.
Is Nick Fury just a name? Is it really just a cover for being a Skrull? Skrull search, hashtag Skrull search.
Yeah.
I just like it being a baby or like a little toddler.
With also an eye patch.
Who's lost his eye.
Nick
Fury just has pink eye. Yeah.
Nick Fury played by Damon Wayans Jr.
That's not
in
bad.
A very serious role, right? Like, he's just, you know... Like he's very like, yeah, I'm not my father, right? I'm not him. I'm Nick Fury now, right? That's what I want.
I kind of just like for Talos' kid to just walk around as a mini Nick Fury. Then like, I'm Nick Fury. Junior.
But like Sam Jackson's face, but yes. On a little toddler body.
And that's the thing, actually. What you were mentioning with the characters and the actors, I'm looking forward anyway to see the divorce between the actors and the characters, because these actors have taken into these characters, like Spider-Man is Spider-Man in my head, and that can be Tom Holland, that can be Tobey Maguire, that can be a number of people. Andrew Garfield did a great job as Spider-Man, I thought. To me, like, they're going into a character similar to what James Bond is, like, you're underneath Spider-Man. Like, it doesn't matter who plays Batman to me, you have to play into Batman. So then as long as like you can put whatever your character type into that, you can put your soul and your essence into it. Christian Bale isn't Michael Keaton, but they're all Batman.
Interesting.
I love that.
Quick tangent, just because we didn't have a chance to really talk about this on the show because it didn't exist at the time. Robert Pattinson, how are we feeling that? Is that just also kind of what you're saying, where it's like, hey, you know what? You can do it, then you're Batman now.
I dig it. Yo, if you can do it, like, I like that, because Heath Ledger showed that, like, right? To me, he showed, like, hey, look, like, off of the the work that he's done, you could tell that he was a decent actor, but, like, that level of actor, like, I love when someone can get that opportunity, right? Like, I want to see somebody get the opportunity to play Black Widow, somebody get the opportunity to be a different Thor, you know, give us a different flavor of that, because you're all still under the mantle of of that character.
Yeah, and we're kind of talking about two different things, right? Like different actors taking on the same character role, but the comics have already done this with legacy characters. Like we have Miles Morales, who is a completely different take on Spider-Man than Peter Parker.
Well, it's a different character.
It's a completely different character, and that's what like they've already paved the way for this. Mm-hmm. Like we have X-23 Laura as opposed to Wolverine, Logan, James Howlett.
So I think that that's a distinction that we should acknowledge. You know, there's the version where you replace the character with a similar character brought in, or you replace the actor and they take over the mantle.
I think you can do both.
Like, I think you have to do both. I think it has to be a mix.
Yeah, or you just do what they're doing with the Batman and you have it take place in a completely like a completely different angle of what you do. We're not expecting Christopher Nolan's Batman. We want Matt Reeves Batman. That's what we're getting. So with Robert Pattinson, I mean, it was so funny that the internet was just like, the Twilight guy? I'm like, you're... Like, one of your favorite Jokers was the 10 Things I Hate About You guy. It's like, don't talk about things that they did like 10 years ago.
Yeah, remember people not wanting a Brokeback Joker? Like, that was the whole thing. Like,
that
really
was
the Brokeback guy.
Yeah,
you not understanding what actors are.
It was so good. Yeah.
That was a good movie. Yeah, it's
the,
like,
the
look
Dark
at.
Knight?
Well, yeah. The Dark Knight. I was talking about Brokeback Mountain, but like both of them are good, in different ways.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know, there's a meme going around on the internet where it's like, hey, you know, flowers and Christmas lights are both attractive, but it's like you don't compare them to each other. You might just like flowers, you might just like Christmas lights, and that's what it is with Robert Pattinson, kind of a thing with Batman.
Vampire baseball.
We just saying phrases now. Magnet poetry.
Have you seen Twilight?
No.
Have we seen Twilight?
No, fortunately. Earlier we were talking about the idea of Black Widow being hunted down, and that's really cool. But we also have this. We don't know if it's confirmed, but we do have these pictures that kind of imply it, and it's rumored at least. People are thinking that Taskmaster is going to be an assassin that learns fighting skills very quickly, and is not going to have the ability to retain personal memories, which is based on the character. I think that's really interesting if it is this, because Black Widow has her own issues with returning to her past. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's maybe a multi-timeline movie or something about that. It's kind of like if he's like the guy from Memento, but he's also really good at fighting. What do you guys think about that potential of Taskmaster potentially being this main villain for Black Widow?
Yeah, I like Taskmaster is a fascinating character from the comics, and I'm trying to figure out like where the source of this rumor began, because I don't think anyone on production said anything. There's no like concept art of Taskmaster anywhere. The character from these set photos looks nothing like
Taskmaster.
Looks like
a
Power Ranger.
He looks like a Power Ranger.
I thought that too. Yeah.
But I
kind of understand it.
I understand
it
too.
It's a
fascinating
thematic. It's a great villain for a Black Widow movie.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, and especially when they did for E3, like the new Marvel game, Taskmaster is the villain in that when they were doing the demo and Black Widow was actually fighting him.
Mm-hmm.
And they went into the whole thing where it's like, I have a photographic or photogeneric or photo, what is it? Photo, I've got the photo power. So,
camera.
Yes, I've got cameras. Yeah. With him having that ability and then having to take that on, it's like that's a really good matchup, because sometimes people forget, you know, Black Widow's human. Mm-hmm. You know, she's hanging out with all these superpowered individuals. So it's like you would need somebody that has that superhuman edge, but also has that tragic backstory. I mean, picture that. You have this dude that... The thing that makes him special is also him choosing to forget everything. I mean, the whole thing with him and his wife, Mercedes, and her being the org, like this, I'm going into comic books, you know, with it.
This audience is okay with that.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's like that is tragic, and that's what you need in a villain. You don't want a villain that's just like rock 'em, sock 'em robot, so boom, I win. You need to have a villain that you actually feel for, where you're kind of like, hey, I get where you're coming from. You're doing it wrong, but I get where you're coming from with it. And then also, I like to be in that place where it's like, should she beat him? Because he kind of doesn't even understand why he's fighting anymore.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a great point. And I think for me, my hope is at least with this villain, whichever villain it is, let's say it's Taskmaster, against Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson did such a great job with like showing how invulnerable she was, except she had certain fears. Like she would show her fear. And so like in Avengers, you had the Hulk, right? She was a total badass, but then the Hulk shows up, and oh my gosh, she's freaking out. She doesn't know. So my hope is that Taskmaster kind of puts her in that same place where the actress Scarlett gets to act, you know, I'm tough, and she is, you know, but at the same time, she has her weaknesses. And that's what that grounding human ability inside of her, like that to me is what's compelling about her whole character.
Yeah, you want the villain to be uniquely tailored to the hero, right? So they should be some kind of inverse of them, or the same person who just made different choices or had slightly different experiences, but they should be parallel in some way, equal opposites. But if you think of that way, if like Natasha Romanoff was programmed to be this killer by the KGB, it'd be interesting to have another soldier who is programmed a certain way, but is programmed in a way to be an exact opposite of them. It's just, I don't know if the set photo is of a completely different villain. He's in a tank, he's wearing armor, he looks like G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra. Does not look like...
The bottom half of him is the tank.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, he's a Sonic villain.
Yeah.
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 No, that all sounds cool. I like that stuff you were saying about the perfectly matched villain. One, because I think it you know, will always help contribute to the theme of the film. But it reminds me also, a lot of times when I'm thinking about Black Widow, I think about Alias, if you guys remember that TV show.
Definitely.
And that was an old J.J. Abrams show. Mm-hmm. And he created a villain that was essentially just an alternate take on Sidney Bristow, and who was the bane of her existence for the entire series. And it's the person that's perfectly matched. I think it's one of the reasons why we've always all enjoyed, you know, Lex Luthor's such a great villain, but really Zod is the one that we're like, man, how does Superman deal with that? Because Lex Luthor, he could kind of just like crush if he felt like it.
If he wanted to.
Yeah.
If he wanted to go there.
I like that you did that. That's how you would crush.
This new Superman might be about that life though, right? Yeah. Like this new Superman like kills people.
At least, Zack Snyder's Superman has no qualms.
He goes for it. Yeah. It's like, wait, if you do that, then we should all be afraid. Like you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I like your energy on this. Is kind of like he's real. Like, have you guys seen the news about Superman?
I mean,
he killed someone.
Yeah. When he went and he snapped old boy's neck in a movie, I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. Are we really okay
with this?
You stand
up in the theater.
I had my hands on my hips and my popcorn flipped over. Yeah. Pardon me.
Did you see Brightburn and assume this was just the next Zack Snyder movie of a Superman origin story?
Man,
of that Superman?
Brightburn was nuts. Yeah. If you were about like Superman being real and everything, this is like little Superman, not to be confused with Superboy, but like... He like messed up in the way that only we could really mess up people.
Yeah, like if you're an American child today, what you would do with superpowers?
Oh. Britney Spears.
You would do Britney Spears.
That's what happens.
What is this show?
You don't need superpowers for that. You just need dance abilities.
Britney Spears
like
has powers.
Like you become Britney Spears.
Gotcha.
She's our Superman. God help us.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on. Let's talk about. We were talking about Batman for a little bit. We're talking about this Matt Reeves version, which I'm getting pretty excited about. I actually am Team Pattinson.
Are you batting for Pattinson?
Sure. You're trying to give me a lot of tongue twisters today, and I'm down with it.
Vampire Baseball.
Your favorite band. Saw this news this week about Andy Serkis potentially playing a villain in the new Batman movie. And here's what got me really interested. They're talking about how famously Andy Serkis is great with motion capture characters. I'm thinking, is this finally going to be Clayface? Are we going to see Clayface in a movie? So one, I want to know if you guys think it might be that, if I might be right on that guess, but also who else do you think Andy Serkis could be?
Clayface is one of the many rumored villains, but there's also like everyone in the Rogues Gallery is rumored to be in this movie. Some people are saying Penguin. Penguin, for whatever reason, there's
he
some like casting report.
He would kick the crap out of a penguin. Well, out of a literal penguin.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yes,
yeah,
Andy Serkis could take on a
mean
penguin and
penguin,
win.
And March of the Penguins, penguin. Part 2. Andy Serkis punting.
Just
kicking
that
would be awesome. What a good pull.
I think Peter would have some problems with
it. Being the penguin.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, his version. His take on anything would be, he's such a good, like, people know him as like the mocap Gollum figure, but like what he's done as Claw in the MCU, like he's brought so much life to that character who was super one-dimensional in the comics. It was so goofy. He brought so much interesting takes to that character.
Did anybody actually hear his SoundCloud? Is that anywhere?
his SoundCloud?
Ulysses Claw. Yeah, where he was like,
right.
Yeah. Did anybody find that?
No.
I still got to search for that.
But also think of just Caesar, which is also a Matt Reeves film, the Planet of the Apes. Andy Serkis character is this incredibly nuanced performance. That's a full CGI performance. I actually prefer that performance than Gollum, because Gollum is kind of a bit more extreme in his emotions. It's almost easier to read in a cartoonish kind of way. Mm-hmm. Not that he is, but it's easier to see that. But Caesar is deserves an acting Oscar, that role.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Clayface, and I think what's great about having Andy Serkis in that role, Clayface is a shapeshifter. He can embody, the mystique of the Rogues Gallery in a way. Like, what if we have Andy Serkis play every person that he shapeshifts
into
as well?
What I'm hoping for, because the idea of Clayface is that it's still the same person, and he's just essentially changed his appearance, but Clayface did study as an actor, so maybe he's going to try to embody them differently, but I think it is about the fact that mentally they're linked, they're all the same person, you know, portrayed a little differently. Right now, I'm still thinking, though, of Benedict Cumberbatch as Smaug.
Yeah, with the ping pong ball skin suit.
Yeah! I love he went
rolling over himself.
I'm pompous, and I have treasure. I want, deep fake technology has gotten scarily good.
God, it's gotten better than
CGI. I want to see Clayface
shift
into other people and just, like, do the deepfake version that looks a little silly.
Did you see the Henry Cavill deepfake?
I have not. Was that where they removed his mustache?
Yeah, they were like, oh, there was a $300 million movie out there, tried to remove the guy's mustache and instead gave him a chin beneath his nose. But the deepfake version, which was just like computer software, did like 100 times better job.
Was this the Quarter Crew? Those guys have been doing all these interesting CGI videos.
Yeah, and they just showed look, we just ran it through our software and we did a better job. So sad.
Yeah.
And I like it that they're using their powers for good in that sense.
Oh, yeah, because deepfake is scary.
As we speak.
Tech, yeah.
Serkis is so good. Like, he could play any of those things. Like, he could play Clayface, and he would nail that. I'd love to see that energy. He could do Joker. He could crush Joker, I think. I'm thinking of, from the animated series, the guy with the puppet. Y'all remember him?
The ventriloquist.
Yeah, the ventriloquist.
Which character do you mean? The ventriloquist or the puppet?
He could do both.
Ooh, why not both?
Why not both? Right? Like, I don't know. Like, he's such a good actor. Like, with that... with that puppeteer, the ventriloquist, like, to see that sadness and, like, all of that stuff, like, pent up inside of him, and all of it's coming out through the voice of this CG dummy that he's voicing, like, I feel like that'd be a cool parallel to watch.
Yeah, if you think the story that Matt Reeves is, we just did a video about, like, everything we know so far, and this Andy Serkis news came out afterwards, but you want a villain who is narrowly and specifically tailored to be an equal opposite of the villain. So in this Robert Pattinson version of Bruce Wayne and Batman, it's supposed to be this Hitchcockian mystery detective
like a noir.
And so what version of an Andy Serkis villain is going to be a reflection of that version of Batman, I guess is a question. So I don't know, do we want a big CGI spectacle of someone who's like... shape-shifting into things, or is that a reflection of that Bruce Wayne?
It all depends on the angle that you go with it. I mean, you could actually, the games did a really good job with doing foils for detective noir type of Batman. I mean,
the Arkham
games. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know, right? Arkham City, what? That one was my one. I think that one was, I'm not going to spoil the boss or anything for anybody.
The ending is big.
Exactly, right? But with that, I mean, you can dwell into a number like, hey, I realize with Batman Forever, you know, that was a Jim Carrey Riddler. But Enigma, there's a lot to be dwelled there. There's a lot that you can plumb in those dwelfs. And there's a lot of tragedy that comes with like being trapped into the own box of your own intellect and then not being able to see your way outside of that. I think Andy Serkis could do a really good job on doing with that. And it would really fit into a detective noir story kind of Batman. You know, give Joker a little bit of a rest. He already has, two movies?
More Joker.
One that they're advertising coming
out? I got a pitch on that. What if it is an Arkham Asylum story, but it's vacant except for Clayface, who is shape-shifting into each member of the Rogues Gallery? And
well, there
Batman
is that rumor that there's going to be a bunch of them, and that would at least control that. Because a lot of times that's a bad sign when they're like, we're going to get every character you've ever heard of in there, and they're like, please don't do that. Yeah. But if it's all actually variations
it's everyone.
On one
what if it's like a Shutter Island Batman story?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, not to spoil a different Arkham game, but there is an Arkham game that makes me think of too, and it's basically a game in your mind of what's happening.
Yeah.
And that to me is actually the most appropriate of the Rogues Gallery in general. general, if you look at all of Batman, it's all stories about mental health and the different ways a mind can break. And so if we really like lean into that, it's like, well, what if also Batman's mind is breaking or someone else's? And that's the journey that the audience is going to go on, is a mind fuck of a movie.
Yeah, that sounds like a good Hitchcock kind of story, too, if you think like Psycho, Vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I like our movie. I'm signing up for it.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
All right,
yes, take Reeves. My we'll, money.
Yeah, yes. Or take ours.
My own money.
Yeah. Great. All right, let's move on to something less dark. This has been kind of like all the villains and all the grit. Instead, let's talk about I Love You 3000.
Oh.
I guess it makes us sad, though, too. So it's one of these super repeatable lines that everybody's bringing up from Avengers Endgame. It's Morgan Stark's I Love You 3000 to her father, Tony. Now, right after that came out, a lot of people were tweeting us like crazy, like, don't you realize the whole MCU, it adds up to 3,000 minutes? And we were kind of like, well, no, it actually doesn't. We didn't know for sure. But it sounds like now they've confirmed, with Spider-Man Far From Home being 129 minutes, that the total on-screen time for the MCU thus far is going to be exactly 3,000 minutes. So first off, is there any way that they actually planned to do that before a few months ago?
Right.
Yeah. It would put a big burden on the directors, on John Watts right now, on the Russo brothers, and on the directors of Captain Marvel, and on Ryan Coogler, to like get within a specific window of runtime. I doubt it. I also want to say, like, I've looked, everyone's source on this is one guy just got an Excel spreadsheet,
right,
and just started plugging in numbers. Most of them do match the runtimes, but on some they're including the credits. Some of them they're not including the credits. So it's like, okay, we're kind of juking the stats a little bit to try to make this fit. But it would be kind of crazy coincidental. It sounds like the I Love You 3000 origin was Robert Downey Jr. That's something he says.
I feel like he improvised that. I feel like he improvised it and we're building a thing around
it. Yeah, he pitched it to the writers. Hey, this is something I say right. with my kids, or I think he has it in his family, so they worked it into the script that way. But it is, even if it's close to 3,000 minutes total, yeah, I got to say that is oddly coincidental.
I think it's just a really cute thing, and I do think that we're just kind of making it fit into that, yeah, because it's a beautiful, heartfelt type of a thing. So I think maybe we're building it up more than what it is.
Yeah, some people I've seen have speculated that there could be like, you know, the generations of mock armor of
right.
Tony Stark armor. Maybe like Morgan Stark will have the Mach 3000 when right. she comes of age and becomes the next Iron Man in the future. Be kind of fun. A nice callback if they choose to
yeah,
do that
the,
in the future.
The 3000
Take
armor.
The idea, Marvel, if you want it. I didn't come up with it. But I think that'd be a fun thing. Just if the number 3000 comes back in loving ways in the future, why not? Everything's an Easter egg in these movies.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
we force everything to be an Easter egg in
yes,
these movies.
We do. Yeah. We got to get up to 75
cool.
in Toy Story 4.
Yeah. All right. So, before we get into, there's a little bit more, there's some Guardians news that we're going to get into and some Star Wars news we're going to get into. Real quick, we're just going to throw to a break to thank our sponsors who help us bring you the show. New Rockstars Rogue Theory is brought to you by some very nice sponsors. Wix allows you to build your own professional website with thousands of templates so your site can do whatever you need it to do. Whether you're starting a blog or a business, Wix has a professional solution to fit your needs. New Rockstars used Wix to build an interactive website for you to get more involved with us. NewRockstarsFan.com lets you give us feedback and suggest future video topics. The newly launched Wix Turbo even loads faster than other websites. They take care of the heavy lifting so you can have full creative freedom over your website, whether it's your first website or you're a veteran designer. Get started today for free at wix.com/rockstars and apply code rockstars at checkout to get 10% off when upgrading to premium. Again, use the URL wix.com/rockstars and apply code rockstars at checkout to get 10% off when upgrading to premium.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
BetterHelp is a great service that helps you make a positive change in your life. Is there something that interferes with your happiness or prevents you from achieving your goals? If so, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues like depression, stress, anxiety, grief, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential and it's really convenient. You can get help on your own time at your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus there's chat and texting with your therapist too. If you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option, and Rogue Theory listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code ROCKSTARS. So, why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/rockstars.
I'm a sponsor. You should watch the show.
And we're back. Cool. All right. Thank you so much to them. But moving on to Guardians of the Galaxy 3 news. So James Gunn just tweeted this week that the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I'm surprised that people thought this was going to be a possibility. He tweeted, no, it's not going to be called As Guardians of the Galaxy. And so a lot of people are like, you know, thinking that there's Thor is going to play this major role in the next Guardians film. But what I want us to kind of dissect, and this is actually the conversation that I'm seeing is happening a lot online, is he rejecting the idea of Thor really being part of the next Guardians movie entirely, or is it just about the title? And also, do you want Thor? Remember, he wasn't really part of the decision-making for a little while there while he was fired. Mm-hmm. Maybe he didn't know that Thor was going to end up in the situation that he was going to end up in. What do you guys think?
I would love for Thor to be part of the Guardians of the Galaxy in a future film. Just knowing the timeline here, James Gunn wrote the script and finished the script and the soundtrack for Guardians Volume 3 before he was fired and was already starting to develop things in terms of the production. So I have to assume that he didn't assume that he would have Thor to use as a character in his script. And he probably has some other idea in terms of what's Rocket's journey going to be, how's Adam Warlock going to come into the story. There's some rumors that the High Evolutionary might be part of Volume 3. And maybe, I assume James Gunn would love to have Thor be part of his story, but
exactly.
The way these Marvel directors work, they're kind of in their own little bubble.
And I think I'm just going to disagree in that. I don't think he wants him. Honestly,
I don't think he needs him, and like, I think we right. I don't think we need that in our Guardians like universe. I mean, because I'm looking forward to having I believe it was which one is it that they're Warlock? No,
Adam Warlock.
I think they're having Adam Warlock, and because that was a possibility,
yeah,
and it was set up
there, yeah.
Exactly, and it was set up in the second one. I'd love for that powerful individual to be in there. I don't necessarily need Thor in there too. Thor needs to go on Thor's own way. He has a lot of healing to do, you know.
Yeah.
So I want him to do that. Yeah, no, I thought it was a really great bit. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind for him to be in there for like a cameo kind of a thing.
Right.
It was like, oh no, this guy kind of a, but no, not as part of the main crew. I want them to go ahead and try to rebuild the relationship between Star-Lord and Gamora. I want to, you know, see that happen. There's a lot
Gamora.
Of other stuff mm-hmm. besides having Thor in it, you know.
Yeah.
Although I do hate that they didn't keep the title As Guardians of the Galaxy, because I was hoping they put Grandmasters like emoji after it, As Guardians, and be like,
As Guardians. I like your pitch that it's a cameo, because then it could be this like recurring thing, kind of like the National Lampoon's Vacation hot babe in the red convertible or whatever, like in any or Cousin Eddie or something. In every single one of these movies, Thor is gonna get jammed in there at some point and just like ruin Star-Lord's day,
or like Eugene Levy
time.
In the American Pie movies.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
the link of all of them.
Neil Patrick Harris and all the Harold and Kumar.
Yeah,
exactly. It's just like there's always some reason they need Thor's help, or Thor shows up or something.
I love the idea. I love the idea of Thor being in Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. Just like the comedic stuff that between him and Rocket, and more importantly, that parallel, like the demigods between Thor and Star-Lord, right? Like it's so cool to. For me, I love like those moments where you have like Thor, who like is a fully realized god in our eyes, and Star-Lord, who is literally half god. And, like, mm-hmm. it's easy to forget that he was flying around the second one like wait, this guy like controls like part of the universe. He can like, it's insane how strong he is. He held an Infinity Stone and did not die. So maybe he should have. Never mind. But yeah, like it's. I love the idea of having him in there. Like, sure, I don't want the entire story to be about him. I like the idea of him sitting in the captain's chair, and every time they come back from a mission, how did it go out there today? You know, that's my Thor impersonation.
I love this Thor impersonation.
Yeah. Audio listeners were confused.
Yeah, I'm Thor.
That's a little better than Eric's impression.
I'm Thor.
See, you don't say the name of the person you're doing an impression of normally.
Yeah,
that's why they're always confusing.
No one knows who you are. You're just doing the voice?
Nate said something crazy that I want to explore. It was a kind of an interesting idea there. You kind of were implying, I think, for a second, what if Star-Lord had been the one to snap at the end of Endgame? Would he have survived it?
I think so.
Interesting.
I think so. I think story-wise, he couldn't. But I think just with the amount of power that he has, like, because Galaxy 2 like really threw me off like with their power levels. Like, I didn't realize Gamora was that strong until I saw Galaxy 2, where I was like, okay, she's like carrying like an airplane, almost like the gun machine, like the turret off of like a spaceship. She can just pick it up. Like, wait, she was that strong? She was like having trouble putting Star-Lord in a bag earlier. Like, what's happening? And then at the end of it, you have him like flying around like with his god dad. And to me, it's like, well, if you wanted to go that choice, Doctor Strange was like, there's only one person who can do it. I was like, nah, there's two.
There's at least three, because now you got Captain Marvel in there also.
Marvel,
Hulk survived.
If we're gonna talk about Endgame with like that kind of a thing, where it's just like, all right, so you're gonna help Peter get Spider-Man get to somewhere, and you're not just gonna grab the glove and just do it.
Snap it yourself.
And just snap it yourself.
Yeah.
But you know, that's.
Yeah, all the powers are kind of relative. Freaking Hawkeye held the Soul Stone in his hand. Hawkeye.
Well,
he doesn't know what's going on.
He
just keep bouncing back and forth. It's fine. Yeah, it's all kind of relative. I think the only thing that killed Stark was the fact it was all of them. I mean, it's a snap itself, and somehow there's an energy surge that kills you.
And
also, he had been stabbed in the stomach a couple years before.
And he didn't want to do more movies.
Yeah.
That's probably a little bit of what it was.
I'm not familiar with this idea of movies. I'm purely in universe now, so when characters die, they die in real life.
Right, that's like how Superman really kills people.
He does, and he's outside waiting for you right now.
What?
That's literally the worst.
Because it's what I believe.
It's his religion.
Prove me wrong. Yeah. Have you seen Twilight?
No, we already covered that.
I think you had time to watch it.
All right, so I like that we, sounds like only some of us want a pun to control the plot of a movie as Guardians of the Galaxy. But great. All right. So Daisy Ridley was speaking out about her character in Star Wars. Apparently, she is not going to be in another Star Wars trilogy. A lot of us know that supposedly it's no longer going to be about the Skywalkers or that saga in the upcoming trilogies, but we didn't previously know that it would no longer be about her either. So what do we think that means about these new trilogies? Are they completely disconnected? Does it mean something about her character, Rey, potentially either dying, or maybe she is a Skywalker, and that's still yet to be revealed, and that's why, the Skywalker saga is over with her. What do we think this news means for where it's all heading?
I think it just tells us that it's not, ultimately, the future is not about any of these one characters, that The Last Jedi, or The Last Jedi and Rise of the Skywalker will close the book on this trilogy of characters, and maybe they won't need to do what they did with this trilogy and bring back Luke Skywalker and Han and Chewie, and they can just kind of tell a new story in a different side of the universe, kind of like what we saw with Rogue One, which was pretty detached.
That was so good. Yeah. I would love to have more. Yeah, I would love to have more movies like plugging in holes, and we know there are holes. We love these stories, and we know there are holes that they can actually do like another like Rogue One like story with. I would love for them to have like maybe just a trilogy of that, and it can end in any way. Everyone can die. I'm sorry, I got really happy about death right then. Well, it's just because we're. It feels like with a lot of IPs, they're trying to stretch it out into three trilogies. When it's like, you know, there's nothing wrong with a one and done. There really isn't. And Rogue One was that. I wouldn't mind having that again. But there are more trilogies coming. Yeah, yeah. No,
yeah,
there are.
Benioff and Weiss have theirs. And yeah, does Rian Johnson also have potentially? It's unclear whether or not he
Hope with this next Star Wars coming out that they're going to introduce a variety of new storylines and characters. Like, we have that one actress who's playing, she said she's playing Jonna. And then my first thought was Jonna Solo, which would be kind of epic if it turned out that she was an interpretation of that character or that character
itself. Which they've done with other characters.
Exactly.
I mean, Rey and Kylo Ren are probably interpretations of previous lore characters. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. It's like going ahead and, you know, going forth with those characters, I would be A-okay with. I mean, it doesn't all have to be Skywalker anymore.
Yeah, but without Imran Ray at all, I mean, well, here's another question. Let's ditch my old question. Do you guys think that you we're going to feel satisfied if we end Ray's story in just one more movie? Do you think that we're going to be like, yeah, that was all we needed from Ray?
They would have to give me so much in that 2.5 hours for me to feel satisfied with the story of Ray thus far, and perhaps that's the intention.
Might,
you know, the trailer is showing her, you know, like kind of taking charge here, and like that's literally what I need. Like I don't know. For me, she's kind of like her character's been one note to me. It's just like all this stuff happened to me. We have to go in this direction, and it seems as if she's just sort of being pushed in that direction, as opposed to like I don't know, driving it herself. Like she went over to Luke in that island with the, you know, the weird hole in it, I guess the weird dark side hole in the bottom of it. But for me, it's like, I don't know, the choices like, that she's making all seem to be relegated to like what the Skywalker tier
She's reactionary,
does.
Reactionary to their story.
That's a great way to put it, reactionary. And so to me, it's like, my hope is at this one, she's like, give me my lightsaber, let's go.
Right.
Like, I'm doing this, get behind me. And that's, if they don't do that, then I don't know. To me, it's like, okay, well then, why her and not just a Skywalker?
Yeah, do we think Last Jedi or Rise of the Skywalker is going to just ignore some of the revelations that The Last Jedi seemed to...
Right?
I'm getting so emotional.
Oh.
No, I just...
God, you sound like a Wookiee.
I hate being called a Wookiee because I can't do the voice. Because, I mean, it seemed like Kylo Ren was just like, no, your parents were nobodies. So is there any more mystery left with Rey?
Well,
I think that's
the
frustration with Rey in the last
Jedi. Okay, let's take bets right now, and then we're gonna you're gonna have to pay up when this movie comes out. Are they going to kind of retcon that moment and be like, except just kidding, your parents are important,
famous nobodies?
Do you think that they're gonna stand by this thing where she really is a nobody, or do you think there's a big reveal of, especially a Rise of a Skywalker, maybe?
Yeah. I think they're gonna retcon it. I think they're gonna, well, maybe not retcon, maybe just say like, we're kidding, we lied
to
you.
Were,
right, yeah, she actually is the daughter of whomever, you know, the Emperor's line or something like that. Because it just, to me, that whole movie since the 1970s has been about like lineage, right? And it's been about like, okay, all of them are underneath the Jedi Order, right? And like, that's all from Yoda, and it comes down. This movie, like, I don't know, to have her just be completely nothing, like not related to anybody, I don't know if that's more powerful than if she was the long lost twin of someone else. Like, that seems more Star Wars to me, but it could be wrong.
I mean, yeah, Star Wars does happen to be, sure, it's a, you know, galaxy that's far, far away, and it's a long, long time ago, but at the same time, there's serendipity. Right? Mm. Twins do happen to get reunited and have sexual tension for a movie, and then they get rid of that.
Right, they don't talk about it.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
They
don't talk about that. But like, yeah, it does have a lot to do with like, oh, of all the people that you could have met in the universe, you happen to meet the exact right person.
And they do that, like, I mean, like they had that parallel with, they can just, like, her and Kylo Ren can just see each other, right? Like, the wall would just open and they can just look at each other. It's like, well, why? You're
Force time, right?
Right. It's like, well, why? How are you not related to anything? You're nobody. You just ain't nobody who came up. But you're specifically looking at the son of Han Solo and Leia, right? Like, that's why that.
Yeah. Why is the Force choosing to connect these two people?
These two people to the point where it's like they're in the same room. Like, that's odd. So I don't know. I think
it would require these movies to just say that like lineage is not important, which they started that sentence in The Last Jedi. It would require the Rise of Skywalker to finish it by saying, like, the fact that you're nobody is important. It's not something that's just whatever. The fact that you had this relationship with Luke Skywalker and this connection, the Force doesn't care about bloodlines. It cares about some kind of inner soul quality. And one interesting theory that I saw coming out of this Rise of Skywalker trailer is that maybe Skywalker is like a lowercase s term. It's a it's a new term for Jedi in the future, that we are no longer Jedi. We've departed from the Jedi Order and what that meant, this whole binary view of the universe and this more complex gray Jedi view of the world. And what Luke Skywalker was in The Last Jedi, that's the kind of tradition we want to go forward now. Not someone who looks at light and dark, but some kind of mix between them. And now Skywalker is a new order. There are now a generation of multiple Skywalkers.
Like the Grey Force.
Well, and I do believe, sorry, that real quick, that the Skywalker last name, it does come from a position, the same way that our last names on Earth all either come from who
Smith or Potter.
Yeah, exactly, or Miller or something. I think Skywalker is that way too. So it could be just, you know, that position is returning.
Yeah, someone who walks upside down and walks around with a mirror and they're walking on the ceiling.
That's exactly how they do it.
Offshoot
of the ceiling walkers.
Yes, the ceiling walkers,
yeah. Yeah. Marijuana reference.
The ceiling walkers or the skywalkers?
The OG skywalkers.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they fly. Yeah. I'm also about balance and revolution. So for me, I loved that Rey was like, hey, your parents were nobodies. Because for me, it was kind of like the immigrant story, where it's just like, yes, you can be first generation, literally come from what people say, you come from nowhere, you're nobody, and then rise to the occasion, become this, you know, epic Jedi. I love that, because, you know, that makes me feel like, yeah, I can do anything. I can do my groceries and my laundry in one day, you know, that kind of a thing. Epically with like theme music in the background.
You just play John Williams' score while you're doing laundry. It becomes epic.
I need to hire some assistants just to do that. Yeah. And you know, if anybody wants to help me out with that, like let's say $15 an hour.
I'm glad.
With Rey in general, I mean, I could see Han Solo getting around and, you know, being a kind of party animal kind of thing, which would make Kylo.
I could see Han Solo getting around.
And Rey be, you know, brother and sister. That is totally a possibility. But I really like the, you know, she literally raised herself up kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's famously Star Wars. Every trilogy of Star Wars in some ways is a retelling of the story of King Arthur. And anyone can be king in the story of King Arthur. They just have to have that noble heart. And that could be what Rey is representing in this trilogy.
Yes.
So let's move on to Rogue Questions. This is kind of a new thing we're trying out here. We'll woo, but then you might not like it. Let's see how it goes. These are random questions. We don't know what they're going to be, but you just got to answer them quickly and then see what happens. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Anybody can answer. People are stealing menus and silverware from the new Star Wars Galaxy's Edge section of Disneyland and selling them on eBay. What would you want to steal from Disneyland?
Okay, I would go to Galaxy's Edge, and if they have like Moscow Mule looking like galactic mugs, I'd get one of those.
I think you can probably buy those.
Well, no, you said about stealing though. So it's like
it's true. There are no laws in this question.
I want to steal the entirety of Disneyland, and I want to have it on my own little island, and it's just mine. I want to live there. Can I go there, please?
Only if you can hold on to this character for all these questions.
Got it done. That's what it takes.
All right. If there is an actor walking around as Lando, I want to take Lando's outfit and walk out as Lando.
That's awesome. Are you going to hurt the actor?
No.
Okay, cool. That's usually that guy's right, like tied up and he's like, help, get stopped.
He's wearing your clothes
and he has to be you now. All right, that one's done. Kevin Feige has said that Marvel talked to Jake Gyllenhaal many times over the years about playing other roles. Besides Mysterio, real quick, who would it have been great as?
He would have been a pretty good Cap, I think. You know, just a nice-looking young man who always does the right thing.
God, I mean, he could literally be anybody.
Pepper Potts?
We'll bring in X-Men and he's Beast.
I'm going to say that.
Like, that's awesome.
They meld together and that's, yeah.
Yeah, very furry Jake Gyllenhaal.
He's kind of crazy. You see him in Nightcrawler? That guy likes to get weird.
He can be Nightcrawler.
Jeremy
Renner is releasing original music. Quick, your best Hawkeye-inspired song titles.
Hawkeye will walk 500 miles. Hawkeye will walk. Yeah, I think you got it.
All right, you don't need to sing them to
I think we should sing them.
Okay, fine.
We
gotta
sing them
to them,
right?
Nate, what do you got?
What's the point?
Oh, not bad. No, of this show or the question?
No.
Hawkeye through your heart.
shot through the heart.
Yeah.
All right. James Wan is working on an Aquaman spinoff set in the trench that will be a monster horror movie. What other characters could get a good horror movie spinoff? And I'll just throw out there, Swamp Thing is potentially going to be turned into a movie, which is great because the show is great and got canceled. Other characters that you could do a horror take on?
Sure. You could do a horror take with Jessica Cruz for Green Lantern because she has like the PTSD. She's like trapped in her own house. And then also her ring is haunted by another entity. So she goes through this whole thing where she has to battle her demons and literally battle demons to be able to become Green Lantern.
Yeah, or what about a John Wick universe, but a real Baba Yaga story where it's just from the point of view of the gangsters who fear the Baba Yaga. And it's just Keanu Reeves is playing like a Michael Myers Baba Yaga figure.
Like you don't see John Wick
right.
a lot of times.
You just hear people scream and then yeah.
Constantine is already considered horror. Would that already be?
I mean, there's been non-horror versions
of it. Could totally get a sequel of that, though.
Oh, gosh.
Let's
today.
Get Keanu, horror, get Keanu
right.
back.
Yeah. Right, straight up horror Constantine. Like, yeah, going there, I think, would be super cool.
Pretty good. I want Batman Elseworld films that are just like different. A different actor plays Batman every time, and it's a very different take on it. So a Scarecrow horror film, you know, psychological and actual horror. That'd be great.
And there's a ghost in that. There's a ghost.
There's always a ghost.
Yeah. It's a white
Well, there's
sheet.
Ghosts
yes.
everywhere right now. all right, so Tom Hardy has been confirmed to play Venom in a second movie. Does anyone can anyone attempt real quick an Eddie Brock turning into Venom impression?
Oh, I hate Peter Parker. He thinks he's better than me. He thinks he's better than I.
And I am not a crook.
We are better than Peter.
Are we getting a close-up on that tongue action? It is
Tom Hardy doing the voice of Venom. He's just, Eddie, I eat, I need to eat lobsters when they're in the tank. My favorite movie lines are just like characters' inner monologues during the mundane things they do in movies. Like, oh no, there's a nuke going off, little John Connor on the other side of that fence. Ah, I'm a skeleton now. It's a famous line of movie. That's AFI Top 100 in my book. I'm a skeleton now.
She says that right after No Fate. So
But with no lips either.
These ruby slippers are just up for the taking.
Who's saying
I gotta
that
walk
one?
On this yellow pathway now?
This all Toto?
Yeah, this is Toto.
All right. Tom Holland stopped a woman from getting crushed by autograph seekers this week and told a story also about helping a woman who passed out on a plane. Eric, do you want to apologize for crushing this woman to get Tom Holland's autograph?
No apology. No, I'm not.
It's worth it. No. Who of the Avengers is most likely to be a real-life superhero? Which actor?
I would like to think that all of them would be.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, guys, about heroism. Everyday behavior should just be heroism, right? We shouldn't elevate these people to be heroes just because they help someone who's getting trampled. That's what we should all do in those situations.
Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, I like that answer better.
Yeah. Saldana.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, that's it for Rogue Questions.
And bearded Chris Evans.
Bearded Chris Evans can do anything.
Yeah. Bearded Chris Evans.
Yeah, because let's remember, like, sure, the character held the helicopter, on the top of that building, but Chris Evans looked like that while holding that helicopter. We'll drop that in the video version of this if you want to see that. And also the person screaming, I'm a skeleton now. That's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. Thanks for going rogue with us, guys. Thank you so much to our guests. We have Nate Sherman, who you can see in the comedy show Black People at Second City. That's in Hollywood on July 31st. Markia McCarty, you were telling us earlier that you've got a new show coming out.
Well, I'm on a new show that All Deaf Digital is doing. It's called Gamepad, where they come and they look at your gamepad, and I have one at DC, so they came in and we chatted, did a little set tour, and
that's awesome.
Everything.
And you can also be seen on DC and also on Nerdist.
Yes, DC Daily, and then also Nerdist in a variety of different ways, Nerdist and Geek and Sundry.
Gotcha, and follow her on social too. And then Eric, what do you got coming out this week?
Just some crazy theory videos. You can find one on the channel right now about a deleted scene from Spider-Man: Far From Home, and about other details about Black Widow, and all these like post-credit scenes that are happening with the Endgame re-release. We got videos coming out about that this weekend, and for Spider-Man Far From Home next week, and Stranger Things Season 3, we're going to break down all the 80s references that it stole its characters and plots from.
Seriously.
Awesome. All right. Follow everybody on Twitter and Instagram, and follow New Rockstars. Make sure to subscribe to the channel and also to this podcast feed. Just, I don't know if you guys remember this from before, but we still release these faster on the podcast, as well as every video that Eric was just talking about too. That'd be on the Inside Marvel podcast, or also the new Wookiee Leaks podcast for our new Star Wars stuff. But just enjoy it all. It's a great time to be alive. Happy June.
Yay.
Yay.
Good time to nerd. Yeah.